Welcome to the Stuff Belle Says podcast, where we talk about life lessons, light bulb moments on the trail, and daily adventures.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stuff Belle Says podcast. Today, we are going to talk about lessons on the High Sierra Trail. And this is part one of that. We are continuing the High Sierra Trail series. And really, man, we are down to the last two episodes. And it has been really an exciting time recording this because every time I go back to photos and videos and things and posts that I've done over the past month, it just brings me back, you know? And these are lessons that I have personally learned on the High Sierra Trail. And I really hope that you pick up the good stuff and just drop the ugly stuff, because I'm pretty sure there are going to be things on this podcast, on this episode, that you're going to hopefully relate to, and some of it, something that doesn't really relate to you. And so you just move on to the next one. So why don't we just dive in really quick and get into it. So the first thing that I've learned on the High Sierra Trail is preparation. Preparation is key, and how you prepare will contribute to the success of whatever it is that you're doing. In this case, we went on the High Sierra Trail, 72-mile hike of the Eastern Sierras, actually west to east, starting from Sequoia National Park all the way to Mount Whitney and down to Whitney Portal, which is the eastern side of it. And at the time of this recording, it is actually closed among so many other ones because of the wildfires that's happening here in California. So as of right now, in fact, the last time I checked on a Facebook group, it was saying that one of the parts of the High Sierra Trail was pretty much consumed by the fire. And that is very sad to hear. You know, fire is one of those things that just happens in our forests. And unfortunately, it's part of it regrowing things again and part of the ecosystem that, you know, things get burned and things regrow again and it builds a whole new thing. You know, it happens almost every few years in some forests, and some forests burn faster than the others. And living in Southern California, where things are very dry, things are easily caught on fire when you're up in the mountains. So some of these locations, we still don't know the cause of why the fires are happening, but you know, it's just one of those things that happen. So anyway, going back to our podcast here, preparation is key, and really doing the daily workouts, high intensity workouts that I pretty much did over the course of time. COVID-19 really, I would say, messed up a lot of people's lives, not only here in the United States, but as well all over the world, globally. You know, this has been affecting everybody. And so lots of different transitions and lots of different things that have occurred. And so we make do of what we can do. And so preparation for things like the High Sierra Trail, I mentioned this on the last episodes, but daily workouts with high intensity workout, we did some running, some training hikes. And once the forests opened up sometime in May of 2020, we were out there, you know, hiking as much as we could. So training and preparation is definitely key. Lots of research went on the trail over the past few months before going. In fact, it's funny because I didn't know if we were going to make it. So from the very beginning of the year, I knew we got the permits and I didn't know if it was going to happen. So I did not put that much effort, even though I was just constantly training physically because I just always want to be ready. I mentioned that we did a training backpacking trip over San Gorgonio, which is the highest mountain in Southern California. It stands at like 11,500 feet. And that was a great training hike. We did all the training hikes we could before going. And I believe that that is part of the reason why the High Sierra Trail was so successful, because we got to do different kinds of terrain prior and doing HIIT workouts and stuff like that. Just really physically prepared before it and mentally prepared before it as well. Preparation as well goes along with packing the right gear and tools. And this, I have done a lot of research, even though with prior experience, I have done, you know, with my own experience stuff and putting that together and seeing, okay, which one do I really need? And I did talk about gear on the last couple of episodes. And so if you want to go back to that and see what gear we brought or I brought personally, you can go back to that. But being mentally prepared by reading, watching videos and all that is really, really important prior to doing something like the High Sierra Trail. And I'm sure doing more of a bigger hike, like if you were to do like the John Muir Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail or anything of that sort, like the CDT, the AT, whatever through hike you're planning to do or any other thing, I think it's important to just prepare, you know, being mentally prepared for that. And more than anything, knowing where you're going also. And then you just take the plunge and go for it, you know, no more turning back. And when we got dropped off at the trailhead at Crescent Meadows at Sequoia National Park, I knew there was no turning back. And so there was no giving up and we're going to finish it strong. So just like anything in life, preparation, I notice is such a big thing. I mean, some of you guys know I do own a catering coffee business and it's a lot of preparation that goes along before we actually get to an event and set up our cart for pour overs and, you know, all kinds of coffee stuff, tea and coffee. And before we get there, I realized, my goodness, it's a lot more time to prepare than it is to actually serve just for a couple hours at like a wedding or a birthday or something like that. But preparation is key. When I have everything in the proper place, when I put things, you know, in proper locations in my car or in this case, in my backpack, then I'll know exactly where those things are. Just acknowledging and getting to know what you have and preparing for all these things, including mentally preparing yourself, is super important because that guides you through the success of your trip or the success of whatever it is that you're doing. So preparation is key. Number two, I learned about letting go. And I mentioned this on the last episode that I was going to talk about this, and it is overthinking. So it's important to stop overthinking when you are on a hike like the High Sierra Trail, because it is that time that you get a sense of wonder when you get to the trails and you just let the trails take its course with you. And honestly, having a loose grip on your plans is so freeing, because plans on hikes like that or any type of through hike will change every day. You know, on the second day, we thought we were going to make it to Big Arroyo, which is really, in retrospect, I'm thinking, gosh, I don't even know if I'm going to be ready. I would have been ready for that, given that we had to climb that big 4-mile hike. We got to the Hamilton Lakes. And from there, I'm just like, I think this is it. Like, we'll just have to end here. And because of that, things changed, you know, and you have to be okay to let go of plans if necessary. And if you don't have a loose grip on those things, you're going to really have a hard time, because you're going to just start overthinking things, doubting things, and see if you're going to make it or not. And these are conversations that actually came up when we were out there. We don't know if we're going to make it, if we are going to keep this pace. You know, there are a lot of those back and forth stuff. But the idea to stop doubting and overthinking, you have to remember your body can handle so much more than you think. And I realized this after, because, you know, thinking you've done just that and with a 40-pound pack, I'm not an ultralight backpacker, but I hope one day I will, given that it is expensive to be an ultralight backpacker. And since that's not my lifestyle, as in I'm not like a long distance hiker every single year, I may not do that. That's not exactly what I may do. I might do it once in a while in my life, but since that's not exactly what I would do as my career, I don't see it as a necessity for myself. I will just be happy with what I have and be content with the things that I already have. So basically, just letting go of our plans and stop overthinking was such a liberating mindset. It's a mindset that you have to tell your brain what to do. And in fact, just recently, I was listening to another podcast by Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a neurosurgeon, and she was talking about how our brain is separate from our mind, and that our mind is basically dictating what our brain needs to do. And this brain is a machine that is in, you know, in this little skull skull that we have, and it tells our entire body what to do. But it starts off with your mind. So the brain is that machine. And if we tell our brain that this is what we need to do, then it'll just follow it, because really it's just, quote, a machine that is doing that. So when we overthink, it's actually our mind that is dictating our brain to overthink, if that makes sense. And if we overthink less, then we have more time to enjoy. I did not overthink how hard it might be, you know, or have those what if moments, because honestly, this whole overthinking happened after we did Mount Whitney in 2019. And after that, I just felt like on that trip, I overthought so much. I was afraid, and overthinking literally led to fear. And because of that, you know, it makes things just so much harder. So here on the High Sierra Trail, I was more open into just like, okay, whatever happens, we're going to do it. We came prepared for this, you know, and knowing that it's going to be a long-term thing rather than just us getting to our destination. It was such a freeing thing to not overthink how hard it might be and just to enjoy what you have in front of you and to just do one step in front of the other. It made the trip so much more enjoyable. And because of that, there was just more room for wonder. There was just so much more room to explore, so much more room to get into certain thoughts that are much more pleasant than if I were to overthink. And I do remember though, if you're an overthinker, I do remember being in that mindset, and it really is difficult to overturn. It is something that you really have to practice, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And one thing that I know that has helped me when it comes to overthinking is simplification. Simplifying things in your life will help you overthink less. And partly whatever you have at home, just, you know, if you think of clutter, you know, I think about like clutter, for example. When you think of clutter, it makes it so much harder to think and make decisions. And so I am in this new mindset of essentialism and minimalism as a lifestyle, not so much on like, okay, I should only have a few of these things, but it's almost like the idea that minimalism is having everything that you need and being content with those things. That goes with gear, which I mentioned on the last episode, and also it goes with life in general. And because of that, it helps me overthink less. For example, I only have a few clothes. I'm not like into big clothes. I am all about shoes though. I do love shoes, but my new mindset is if ever I get new shoes, I have to let go of some shoes. That way it doesn't crowd up in my room. And another thing that I do is that if there's no place for it, it doesn't belong here. If there's no house for it, for example, if there's no place that I can put back some items, then that means that there is no room for it. You have an excess. So I would just let go of those things. And so I have been in this mindset of doing that for a lot of things in life. And because of that, it helps me overthink less. And I heard one of these quotes that said, the easiest way to clean up is to get rid of things. And living in a first world country such as the United States of America, it has allowed many of us to accumulate so many things in life that it actually contributes to overthinking. You know, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? You know, instead of just us keeping it simple and simplifying on a lot of things. I'm sure this is not for everybody, but I would just say if you would just keep things simple, you're going to just enjoy life better. You're going to overthink less, and you're going to learn the art of letting go, because things are just so much easier when we are able to enjoy the most important things and not worry so much about the things that are surrounding us. And so that was like one of those things that I learned on the High Sierra Trail that I thought was super, super key. And just having everything I need in my pack was just like, it's so liberating just to have everything that I need there and keeping it simple. So this is the next thing I want to share to you guys, keeping it simple and enjoying the process and enjoy the journey, not just the destination. Every day on the High Sierra Trail was full of fun. I mean, the first day we felt so fresh. There were days where we laughed so hard. And I mean, at least for me, I belly laughed so hard on things that had no no meaning. Like some of these things are just super random that, you know, just laughing at a tree shape or laughing at something that someone said. And because of that, like a sound that someone said, and it's just like the most delirious thing ever. And we were in tears. I was in tears at least whenever I laughed, and I was delirious on some of the days. And it's just full of amazing memories that really can last me forever to remember. We took a lot of pictures. We stopped when needed. There was no rush. Everything was so simple. Although we had to obviously make it to certain destinations before dark. So we picked it up when needed, our pace. There was a balance with our pace and the enjoyment part of it. And really, when it was time to rest, we rested. You know, if someone needed to take a rest, we rested. For the most part, you know, we kept going. And when it was time for lunch, we would just all gather together and eat lunch together, you know, and stuff like that. And so we took time to reset. Being in the city, living in Los Angeles, is very, very complex. For those of you guys who don't live here in Los Angeles, good for you. I don't know where you're living, but do let me know where you're from. You know, if you do review and rate this podcast, I would really appreciate that, and let me know where you're listening from. But there was a balance with our pace and enjoyment that we would take time to rest. We would take time to reset. And really, for me, going out there in the mountains, I get back in tune with my own self. You know, the less screen time I have and less connection to the internet, the interwebs, where we have to be connected because that's just how life has been going on now in the 21st century, especially today in 2020, with all the things and the restrictions that we have. Online, being online is super, super key. But again, being out there for 8 days really just disconnected me from the world in a way and kept me back in tune, if you were to say it that way. It was much, much less screen time because the only time I would check my phone is to look at the map, look at the time. Not even that, I had my watch. So when my watch died, that's when I started looking at my phone to check on the time. But other than that, it's mostly used for maps or photos and videos and stuff like that. There was no rush. Life was so simple. And this was the hardest thing to apply because I feel like living in LA, I'm always rushing. But COVID season has really helped me see that a little differently and realize that I'm able to slow down and adjust appropriately as needed. I actually have read multiple books over the past few months because of COVID and just being home and resetting things. I learned how to bake more. I learned how to cook a lot more and do experimental things in the kitchen, organize a lot of things. And so keeping things simple, and I know that might not be the case for a lot of you out there listening, but for me, it has helped me reset. And in fact, this whole podcast thing was a quarantine project. And here we are now, episode number 7 or 8, whatever this is. I think it's 7 officially, but 8 according to uploads because introduction, whatever. But this whole podcast was birthed out of slowing down. You know, something gets out of us slowing down and it comes out with the creativity and the good things that is really within us. And so keeping it simple and enjoying the process, you know, taking time to rest, that was a huge thing that I learned on the High Sierra Trail. The next thing I learned is that mistakes will happen and you need to be humble. Sometimes you have to sit down and be humble. And what I mean is day 5 was we were climbing out of Kern Canyon, actually Kern Hot Springs area. And I led the pack this day. This is day 5, heading towards Junction Meadow, one of the best campsites we've ever been. As we were walking out, we got lost. And that was my fault, you know? And one of the things I didn't share this to everybody, but one of the things that I feel very embarrassed about to admit is that I felt like I was humiliated for not knowing where to go when I'm supposed to be leading this group. And that kind of like gave me this reality check that, look, you don't know it all. You know, you need to come to your senses and know that you don't know it all, no matter how much research you do, no matter how much preparation you have. Sometimes you just have to admit, you know, and so I just remember, you know, this whole thing about humility. humility can teach you in many ways, but the main thing is sometimes it will teach you in humiliation. You know, you would suffer because of humiliation, and that's like a forced way to learn humility. So I hope it doesn't happen to you, but if it does happen to you, just know that it's okay. For all of us type A folks who plan things, and when things do go wrong, sometimes it makes it easy for you to get discouraged, right? I don't know if you could agree with me on that, but at least for me, if things go awry, many times it makes me feel so discouraged. And so it's one of those times where, man, mistakes will happen, and be willing to learn from others. At that point, I felt like sorry for a bit, and I just had to learn to let go of that mindset and fully enjoy again. Because if I lingered with a mistake, in fact, we got lost for about 30 minutes and literally going around in like circles, or like going around in some weird path that I thought, the reason why I went that route, because I was reading one of the reports of the High Sierra Trail, and not trying to justify what happened, but the reason why I thought we were going the right way was because I read somewhere that there were a lot of down trees and a lot of down plants. And this is exactly the picture of what I was imagining that report was talking about. And so because of that, I said, oh, this is what they meant about all the down trees and all the plants that were on the ground and just like covering all the trails. I said, all right, let's just keep going. This is the way. But I was looking at the map, and man, we were so off trail, and we had to turn around and go back to where we started. And lo and behold, we found the trail the moment we got back. You've got to learn how to forgive yourself when it comes to those things, and really resist overthinking about the judgments others might make about you when we make mistakes, you know, because listen, life is not about you, okay? Like, people have lives that they live, and because of that, they are concerned about their own life as well. But, you know, it's okay. Brush it off and keep going. And I do remember my daughter used to play varsity volleyball in high school. She's in college now. But when they would make mistakes, someone would not get the ball, you know, or drop the ball or whatever, and they get so discouraged. And it just reminded me, like, that's how it felt when we got lost, and me feeling like, oh my gosh, I just lost everybody. You know, we missed 30 minutes of that time. And in fact, maybe a little bit more, because we obviously had to go back. Because of that, I just had to learn to let go of it, brush it off, and keep going. And the same with those volleyball girls. We have to tell them, just brush it off and, you know, hit that ball next. So it's kind of like, forgive yourself, acknowledge that you have made a mistake, and it's okay that you did. And from there, you just keep going and move on. That's really all you can do, because as human beings, we will always make mistakes. That is just part of life. And if we don't learn how to brush it off and let go, you're constantly going to linger in something that you have done in the past, which I don't think it's really a fun thing, nor is it a healthy thing. So life is not about us all the time. Brush it off and keep going. Okay, that's just like a simple thing. The next thing that I want to talk about is being with the right kinds of people. You know, I couldn't just take anyone with us on this trip. And as I mentioned on previous episodes, there were supposed to be 5 of us, but a couple of them could not make it. So we ended up with just 3. I couldn't just take someone who was new, or someone we've never really hiked with, or someone I don't know. It would just needed to be the people that I've already been training with, because we needed to learn how to work together as a group. You know, we had to be okay when we all had different ideas of what the day might look like. And sure, we have an itinerary that we wrote down and basically gave to everybody before the trip, but you have to be willing to compromise your own ideologies to find a middle ground if there was a disagreement, like in the middle of the trail, in the middle of the 72-mile hike, in the middle of 8 days. Can you imagine having to disagree on things and not being able to work it out? That's just going to be really tough, because in the beginning, we made a commitment that we would stick together, and we did. And if someone got sick, maybe altitude, or I don't know, some sort of something, like I did get diarrhea, which was horrible on day 3 and 4. And with that, like, everybody was okay to adjust. you know, when I have to stop. Everybody was so full of grace when it comes to that. And safety was our priority as a group. This was definitely a collective effort. This was not something that was just accomplished by one person. At the end of the High Sierra Trail, you know, it was such a nice celebration of us being able to finish the whole trail together. And there is just something about being with the right people. Being with the right people means success. It does not mean that there are no obstacles or conflicts. But with the right people, you push through. You think of the big picture and you are there for each other to help them make it to their final destination. Because obviously, everybody is in a different path of life. We all had different goals. And even though one of the main goals we had was to finish the High Sierra Trail, everyone was in a different mindset when it comes to their own personal goal. And so that same goes with life as well. We need to learn to surround ourselves with healthy folks, ones that will speak into our lives despite the conflict and disagreements, but you know they will be there for you to help you make it to your life destination. You know, we got to find the real ones and keep them close, because we need to be in this society of, you know, right now, man, with everything that's going on in the United States, the political climate that we're in right now, everything is just so polarized. And because of that, a lot of people have been divided on different things when it comes to views and political views and just views in life in general. And if we are not healthy ourselves, first of all, then we cannot be that person to someone else. And so if we want healthy friends or healthy company, one, I believe we do need to learn to be healthy ourselves first. That way we can be the right person for the right group of people. It's important for us to do that, because otherwise we're going to be carrying our own baggage to the group of people we're going to be surrounding ourselves with. Being on the High Sierra Trail with the right people definitely made that entire experience exciting, memorable, and more importantly, something that I will never, never forget in my lifetime. So yeah, those are five major things that I mentioned: preparation, letting go, mistakes, basically humility, keeping it simple, and being with the right people. These five things are super, super key in the grand scheme of things. And so just a few things that I've learned on a personal level, you know, when it comes to things, revelations, and ideas that I felt like, oh, these are stuff that every single night I would write things down, and I would reflect on the things that I felt was needed to be thought about even more deeply at that time, I did. So one of the big ones that I learned was that every day I realized that my body could handle a lot more than I thought it could. And honestly, I overthought so much over the years. And because of that, I was more fearful. And sorry about that. That was like a motorcycle that just passed by. But I overthought so much over the years. And because of that, I was always so fearful. I remember doing big hikes locally, and really, I felt defeated already the moment I stepped on the trail. And part of that, I was just like being fearful for no reason. Part of that was just like toxic, unhealthy mindset that I had to overcome. And one of the things that I know helped overcome that is just constantly doing it, you know, gaining confidence, doing bigger mountains, exploring and risking some things when it comes to just being out there, risking in a healthy way. I'm not talking about like risking your life and dying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is putting yourself out there in a position where it is out of your comfort zone. And because of that, it helps you gain more confidence. So I no longer feel fearful. Although I gotta say and admit that I am fearful of exposure sometimes. And by exposure, I mean heights. You know it's a dream of mine to be able to do Mount Whitney's mountaineering route going up. But I was looking there from the summit, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. Like, it looks very scary and it's very high, and I don't know, I'll just fall off to my death. So that's one of those things. But again, it's kind of like rock climbing. You kind of just have to keep going, increasing your confidence. And from there, you can overcome that fear. And so another thing, I had everything in my backpack. I can translate that to life, that I don't need a lot of things. I can probably live in a tiny house and have everything that I need. I thought that was really cool to have everything there that I needed in my backpack. Part of me is like, wow, that's a self-realization, that if I just have everything I need, even if it's in the smallest way or whatever, as long as they're functional, I can do that. And another personal thing that I realized there was that I haven't laughed in so long. And what I mean by that is things have just been so serious recently with COVID, and this entire year has just been a lot of like serious things going on. And so when we were out there, we laughed almost every day, and I need laughter on the daily to keep me in the right mindset. And I miss that so much. You know, that was something that I used to do. I worked at an office for 7.5 years, and every day there was something to laugh about. There's just like office jokes here and there. And because this year has been a lot of thinking, laughter has been kind of put on the back burner. And we got a whole lot of laughter on the High Sierra Trail and made me come alive so much. I realized, gosh, it's not just a small thing. You know, this, it's the smallest things, but laughing has really elevated cortisol levels, or whatever they call it in psychology. It was just so awesome. And another thing was that I enjoy the solace so much, but I also enjoy the small group of company. There was a balance of both. You know, I thrive in equal amounts of solace and socialization, if you were to say. I am probably an ambivert, if they were to call it, but I feel like I'm both. You know, there are those times, and this is one of those things I learned about myself, that I do like equal amounts of solace and socialization. You know, I like my mornings quiet and more reflective. And there were definitely times that we would come into conversations, and sometimes a lot of deep conversations that happen on the trail. And it was the morning, you know, I just woke up, I just started my day, and I could not have deeper conversations. And this was something that I realized, wow, like I really have learned so much about this. And so I do like my mornings more reflective. And if a conversation was to come up, and that's something that I had to be okay with. You know, I get really sensitive when I'm hangry, hungry and angry at the same time. Really, at the end of day three, it was so tough. It was so hot. We were coming down. Even the downhill looked like it was so hard going into camp towards Big Arroyo Junction. And I could not think at the end of that day. I was delirious, laughing at for no reason. And there were times I'm just like, I cannot talk to anybody right now. It was just so bad that I felt so guilty for being mad at the people I'm with for really no apparent reason. And so it's one of those things where if I'm hangry, if I'm tired, hungry, and angry at that moment, I just need to take a step back, and I just need to not talk to anybody until I have calmed myself down. And that was something that I know happened because of everything that was surrounding us. And it's just one of those things, you know, you kind of learn about yourself. And it was hard to think about because I did really feel bad about that day. And it was just one of those things that I had to be okay being myself and not have to worry about getting judged for who I am. You know, being with the right people is key, and which is why I talked about this on one of the points, because if you can do this for everyone, it's liberating to know that you don't need to put up a face for everyone to like you. Just be yourself, your best self, and the right folks will get attracted to it in a very healthy way. And that's one of those things that I just learned, you know, while we were out there. Another thing is that everyone we met along the way had their own journey. You know, they had their own pace. And at the end of it all, we all made it to the top of Whitney, and we all celebrated the success. And everybody hiked their own hike. Some are really fast. They were probably like twice as fast as we were. And when we got up there, they were up there at the top of Mount Whitney, the highest in the contiguous U.S. They basically saw us, and we all congratulated each other. And there was no judgments, you know? Everybody made it, and everybody was getting off. And we all hiked our own hike. And I really, really enjoyed that one. Everyone on the trail was very supportive of each other. You know, we met a few people that were just so awesome. And we all met at the campsites at the end of the day. And it felt very communal, you know, even though we all seemed like we had the trails to ourselves most of the days. But really, it was so nice to just be able to see people in that way and have the same goal and just cheering on each other, helping each other out. And I remember one of the groups had this guy who had a lot of blisters, and he could not walk for, I think it was day two, and he already had blisters. Day three, we met some of the people on the trail that was with that same group, and we all got to the same campsite, and one of the girls came to our camp and asked for help to see if we had something that we can help with the blisters with. And of course, me and my essential oils, I gave him some, and it seemed like he got better like the next day or the couple days after, because they went to a different campsite the day after, and we met them a couple of nights later. It was just such a nice community. You you know, and we all had our own hike and there was no judgments on anything. And we kind of got to know each other in a very unconventional way. And I really, really enjoy that one. And lastly, I am just so grateful to God that I was able to do that once in a lifetime experience for the changes of weather, for the magnitude of God's creation. Like, no man can recreate that. There was just like amazing stuff. You know, Disney, I'm sorry, you can't, you know, there's just no way you could recreate a place like that. And it just made me feel how small I am, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And it kind of reminds me of this psalm where it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." And obviously this is talking about how God has created all these things. And this is, as a Christian, this is something that I believe, that God has created all things and everything is held together by Christ. And so because of that, it's just something that I am so grateful for. Being out there and able to experience something like that was kind of like an outer body experience, you know, because it is something that you can't have on a daily. But through hiking the High Sierra was completely life-changing, and it opened my eyes to a new realm of things, and obviously first about nature and God's glorious creation and the magnificence of it. It's just so, so awesome. Like, God is extremely powerful to have created such vastness that no man can recreate. And about myself, man, just a lot of things that I've learned through that. And you know, I think, man, why do I do this? Like, why do we do such strenuous type of fun? Like, this is just something that I constantly ask myself every time we're climbing a hill or climbing a big mountain or something like that. And you're just like, why do we do this? And it just brought me to this realization, I'll close with this, that it helps me really get in tune. A lot of times we get so out of focus being in the city, and a lot of times we don't have ways of creativity where we can just be clear in our thoughts and in our minds so we can get back to the assignments we have in our own respective places, to go back to civilization where honestly sometimes the noise could be so much louder than the enjoyment of listening to music, if you were to put a metaphor to that. And God willing, man, like, I just want to be able to do a lot more hikes like this, you know, where I can step out and enjoy nature, get in tune back again, and be back and play the music alive. You know, it's just one of those experiences that needs to be a part of a plan in your daily life. And so this has been really awesome. I'm really glad that you guys are following along with this, and I hope that that gives you some inspiration and really know what it's like out there. Really, you know, I can't just put words to it, and it's been super, super awesome. But the last of this series will be a conversation with two of the folks that I was with out there. So watch out for that. That'll be a fun one. And again, thank you guys so much for being here and for listening to this podcast. You know, don't forget to share, rate, review so others can see this podcast. And until next time, I will see you again on the Stuff Bell Says podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.